want to talk to you today about standing your ground against the attacks of the enemy, standing firm, digging in. Use a lot of different terminology to talk about preparing for the attack, because inevitably, if you're serving the Lord, and even if you're not, the enemy will, he's going to try to throw you off course. He's going to try to take you down. He wants you to quit. He wants you to give up. And so today, hopefully, we're going to give you some things that will help you stand firm against the attacks of the enemy, help you dig in, plant your feet, and hold your ground so that you can withstand the attacks and be victorious over what the enemy would mean for your destruction. So let's start by looking at Galatians 5, verse 1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage. I remember teasing Jeremy a few years back. He had used a scripture in this reference and spelled the word yoke, Y-O-L-K. And we had a good time at that. The internet generation and our lack of spelling ability, but that's another story. Because the yoke of bondage, it's got lots of cholesterol and no. Are eggs good for us now? I can never remember. Science waffles back and forth. Eggs are good, and then they're not good, then they're good, then they're not. You know, it doesn't matter. I like eggs. I like this too because, you know, stand fast. When you think of the word fast, we're talking about how, you know, glue will hold something fast. You know, so it's not like stand quick. No, stand fast, firmly, with your feet planted, glued in place. Stand fast in the liberty, in the freedom by which Christ has made us free. Do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage. You know, this is a mandate for Christian people that Paul is talking to. He says, don't go back to the bondage that you lived in, but stand fast and hold firm to the liberty that Christ has given you. Don't be entangled again in what the enemy is going to attempt to entangle you. The Apostle Paul often compares our growth as Christians to a race or a fight. And I've never been much of a fighter or a racer. Laura's been talking about this program that she got from her sister Kylie, this From the Couch to 5K plan. And when you begin a running regimen, especially after you've broken your ankle, when you begin a running regimen, you begin to realize a lot of this analogy in Scripture that talks about comparing our growth, our Christian growth, to a race, and the perseverance and the endurance, the sense of commitment that it takes to kind of go with that, kind of begins to become a little more clear. Any of you run? Any of you ever thought about running? The thinking about running, that doesn't get you very far, does it? No. The plan involves, you know, following a certain set of instructions for the first week, and then the second week it kind of ups it a little bit. The third week it ups it more. Laura was excited last week because she had finally got to the point where she ran 2 miles nonstop. So she did 8 laps around the track. She came back pretty excited about that. I started the program, which involves, it starts by 60 seconds of running, 90 seconds of walking. 60 seconds of running, 90 seconds of walking. You do that for 20 minutes. Doesn't sound that hard, does it? I thought I was going to die. But I realized, you know, if I'm going to build up strength in my legs, and particularly in my ankle that had gotten, you know, that had gotten weak, and strengthening my bones and strengthening my muscles, if I have any hope of starting up Hapkido class again. Anyway, I realize I need to drop some weight and I need to build up some muscle strength and bone density. And I need to do this program. Plus, you know, I'm going to be 30 this year. And, 30. And, you know, that's going to be closer to 40 than I used to be. And then people are going to be making all those old man jokes. They already do. Kid. Ron's like, what? I'd like to be in better shape when I hit 40. And I know it's possible. But the reality is, the harsh reality is, good things require work and discipline and commitment. And Paul talks about your walk with the Lord being a race, which means it's going to take some effort. It's going to take times where you have to decide to do it when you don't want to anymore because it seems like it's getting too hard, and you've got to push through. So I've successfully got past week two of the program. I'm getting ready to do week three probably later today. And, you know, and I got a little twinges of pain in the ankle, and the right leg is still a little bit weaker than the left. And so, I mean, I'm still feel like, you know, hobbling Jack or something out there. Anyway, but these analogies and these things have I think, become more clear to me as I've been determined to do this race of sorts. Well, here's the thing. Let's fill in a few blanks. As we gain ground, and I use that word because, you know, you can think of that in terms of a battle, gaining ground. You can think of it in terms of a race, gaining ground in your opponent. You can think of it in terms of a fight. We need to make sure that we take steps to maintain our progress and continue to move forward. We have to do this on purpose. Because I guarantee you, if you're not moving forward, you're not growing. And if you're not moving forward, the enemy will see to it that you slip back into old patterns of thought, old patterns of behavior, old temptations. It's going to come back. We've got to be forward thinking, forward moving, and determined in this race, in this fight that is our Christian walk, to gain ground every day. So let's go back to the scripture that Joel read to us in the beginning of the worship service, Ephesians chapter 6. And I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time talking about the ins and outs of the armor of God, but I want to talk a little bit about the standing firm aspect of this, the standing strong, the preparation, being ready for the attack, and making a commitment to stand against what the enemy will throw at us. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything, to stand. He's really emphasizing this idea of standing your ground. Stand firm, then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist. Let me just do a quick aside. Since I'm not going to go into the implications and what all of these parts of the armor mean, that could be your homework this week. What does it mean to have truth buckled around your waist? What does it mean to have the breastplate of righteousness, the breastplate of rightness with God in place? And with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. So what does it mean then to stand fast? Well, to stand fast is to do the three things that we've mentioned in the title this morning. Stand firm, dig in, hold your ground. Stand firm, dig in, hold your ground. To stand firm then, make the determination that you will plant your feet and stand against the enemy. Any of you ever had any kids that, you know, they saw you coming and they planted their feet? Usually that involves injury or angry parents. But when a kid sees you coming and they say, I'm not going, and they get ready, you can see that that it's going to be a fight. And there are times when the enemy makes a pretty big show to frighten us, to discourage us, to tear us down, that we don't even try. Any of you remember the game Red Rover? Red Rover, I call Kevin right over. You were probably the one that they were scared of. That's the one where you link arms and you call over somebody and they have to try to break through your arms. And in that game, you plant your feet, right? Especially when you see the big kid coming. You know, if you're smart, you know, you call the little skinny kid, you know, Red Rover, we call Cecil right over, you know, and you get, and it doesn't work. I don't know, I'm making fun of people named Cecil now. All right. That's Ron's middle name, you know. No, I don't know. It's not. Don't say anything. The reality is, in that game, you know, if you really want to win, you got to plant your feet and you got to be prepared for a little bit of pain, because that big kid's going to try to tear through your arm. And so we figured out all kinds of ways to plant feet, lock arms, and do everything to stop them from breaking through. The enemy likes to make a big show of saber rattling, but the reality is that God has promised that we have the authority and the strength to stand and to withstand and to resist. And so don't let the enemy psych you out and keep you from determining to stand against whatever attack it is that he's going to throw at you today. Make the determination that you will plant your feet and stand against the enemy. But the second part of this is digging in. Now, in World War I, that was trenches. For us, it's preparing. Well, it's the armor of God, putting it on for the inevitable spiritual battle that will ensue. Why do I say that? Well, if you look at Mark chapter 4, verses 15 through 17, Jesus is giving the disciples an explanation of what the word, what the seed is in the parable, and the enemy's response to the word. He says this: some people are like seed along the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. So Satan is motivated by making sure that the word is not sown in their heart. He wants to stop it. He doesn't want the truth to get in there, because when the word of God is planted, it begins to grow, it begins to produce fruit, and there's power in the word of God. So if he can snatch it away before understanding happens, before it gets planted, he will. We go on. Others, like seed sown on rocky places, hear the word and at once they receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. And when trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. So why did trouble and persecution come? So that the word wouldn't take root. Now, a lot of us have been there. You accept the new truth. Man, that's great. This is great. You know, about, you know, just this, but the power of God's word, you know, for a new believer, or the ideas, concepts of tithing, or different spiritual truths that we might try to apply. And the enemy does not want that truth to take root in your heart. So trouble or persecution will come for the word's sake, so that you will fall away. That's why we have to prepare. We have to be prepared. We have to know the attack is coming and take steps to be strong and prepared. Jesus says in John 16:33, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. God says, I want you to take these things that I'm giving you: truth, righteousness, salvation, the good news of the gospel, faith that is built through my word, the sword of the Spirit that is the word, and prepare and be ready for the attack. Dig in. So we stand firm, we dig in, and then we decide we hold our ground in order to overcome evil. Hold your ground to overcome evil. James 4 7 says, submit yourselves then to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Hold your ground. 1 Peter 5 9, resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of sufferings. Don't think you're alone in the things that you struggle with or the things that you suffer. You're not by yourself. Be encouraged. Others have resisted the enemy. You can resist the enemy as well. So let's look at a few keys here then to standing fast. A few keys that are going to help us this week as we think about standing firm, digging in, and holding our ground. The first is this: strength and protection come from God's word. Strength and protection come from God's word. Psalm 1, 1 through 3, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And on his law he meditates day and night. He's pretty focused on God's truth here, not just kind of something he does every once in a while. He's like a tree planted by streams of water, which yield its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prosper. I like the analogy of the tree, because the tree, by streams of living water, has a deep, healthy root system that holds that tree in place. And it's strong, and it will withstand the storm, unlike the tree with the shallow root system. I was watching a little bit of a documentary on, I think it was the Discovery Channel or the Learning Channel, about these oases in the Sahara Desert and how a lot of these trees and plants that survive in some of these areas have done so because their roots have literally gone hundreds of feet deep into the soil to find there are underground rivers and aquifers running all through the Sahara. And when a plant is able to find one of those aquifers and one of those underground rivers, the roots will oftentimes grow hundreds of feet down, but then that plant is healthy and green and can survive the harshest of conditions in the desert, the dry, the windstorms. Whatever nature in the Sahara throws at it, the plant survives because its root system is deep and it has a source of water. There's a very strong analogy there to the kind of Christian that God wants you to be. So that's one key, probably the most important key. But then there's a few more that we can add to that. Number two, prayer. Let's go back to Ephesians 6:18. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. You know, we can't underestimate the importance of prayer. Keeping our lines of communication open, talking to God, letting Him speak to us, making our requests to Him, bringing our concerns to Him, offering ourselves to Him, listening for His guidance. If you're in a battle, you need to have the lines of communication open so that the general can get his orders to the troops. And one of the things that an enemy will try to do to defeat another army is to break down the lines of communication, correct? Some of you may have had opportunity to see a movie that was made a number of years ago called Gettysburg, about the Battle of Gettysburg, of course, based on the novel The Killer Angels by Michael Shara. Excellent movie, excellent novel. But one of the things that had Robert Lee stymied for the first few days of the campaign at Gettysburg was his cavalry had gone missing. And for a general in the days of the Civil War, the cavalry were the eyes and the ears of the army. Without the cavalry, he couldn't know where the enemy was. He couldn't know what was going on. He didn't know their movement strategies. And so in a way, he was flying blind. And part of Jeb Stuart's aid in the loss of the campaign to the south was the fact that he wasn't where he needed to be as Robert Lee's cavalry. So communication in any kind of a battle is important. And for us, as Christians, we are in a battle against the enemy, and God wants to be our source of strength, and He is our general, and without His orders, we're lost, we're flying blind, and we wonder why we fall. Number three. This one might seem surprising, but it's all about our motivation. Our motivation needs to be one of love. 1 Corinthians 16:13-14 says this. Be on your guard. Stand firm in the faith. Be men of courage. Be strong. Do everything in love. Sometimes we like to read scriptures that talk about, you know, going out and being soldiers and fighting and yeah, but our motivation still needs to be love. Ow. You don't remember who the enemy is. It's not people. And we still continue to have the motivation of God's love in our life as we deal with people around us. Number four, there's power in unity. Laura talked a little bit about this last night at Saturday Night Alive. She was talking about how it's so much easier to run when you're with other people. And sometimes it's, you know, just being, we had a little thing the other night. Was it Wednesday night after youth group? We all got together. I've been trying to run with Ron and Matt. And when I say I run with Ron and Matt, I'm not really running with them. We're just on the same track while they lap me, basically. Yes, that's basically what happens. But even in that context Thursday night, they were there. Shandell hopped on a bike. We had some of the teens running around the track with us. I think Mary was there that night. She was ahead of us. And, you know, we kind of had a little sense of community as we're all doing our own thing. You know, Matt's trying to do 3 miles. Ron's trying to do 17 miles, you know. I'm out there just trying to do, okay, 90 seconds run, 2 minutes walk, 90 seconds run, two, you know, I'm just doing the thing. But just kind of having everybody running around and, you know, Mary's, hey, good job. Ron's like, yeah, good job, you know. And then Matt's going, ah. Ron's like, you can do it. And we're all doing our thing out there. And there's sort of a sense of mutual encouragement that happens when we're all together in that context. And the other night, you know, Laura said, you know, it really is easier when there's other people there. She and Kylie went and did the run together. And just having that extra encouragement, just having that extra person to talk to encourage you, to lift you up when you don't think you're gonna make it. I remember Mary a couple years ago telling me about some of the kids on the track team at Gordon that, you know, they were out doing a track meet and some of the kids were lagging behind and a few of them decided to kind of fall back and encourage the ones that were lagging behind, saying, you can do this, you can do it, you know. And we underestimate the power that we have in unity when we do these things together. First Philippians. No, there's only one Philippians. Philippians 1, 27 and 28 says, whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then, whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in one spirit, contending as one man for the faith of the gospel, without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you. This is a sign to them that they will be destroyed and that you will be saved, and that by God. Let's go back to Red Rover. When a bunch of us as Christians stand together arm in arm and the enemy decides to make a run at us, he realizes when we stand together that we're stronger. It's one thing to resist him. It's another thing to resist him with the help of a fellow brother or sister in Christ. And the enemy then realizes that he will be destroyed and that we will be saved. And then five, priority. Really, this comes down to what our focus is. Our primary focus then is always on God. So our strength and protection comes from God's word. We're focused in prayer. Our motivation is that of love. We realize there's power together in unity and that our primary focus always needs to be on God. Here's a few scriptures. Psalm 16:8, I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Because my eyes are focused in the right place. Psalm 62:5 through 8. Find rest, O my soul, in God alone. My hope comes from him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will not be shaken. My salvation and my honor depend on God. He is my mighty rock, my refuge. Trust in him at all times, O people. Pour out your hearts to him, for God is our refuge. Salah. It's good stuff. When I'm focused where I need to be, the enemy isn't as able to distract me from my true purpose. To distract me with things that seem bigger or more ominous than they truly are. Let's end the message this morning with this scripture from Hebrews 10. And again, your homework this week is to maybe take some of these scriptures and to go home and to look them up, read them, meditate on them. Do a little study on the whole armor of God section in Ephesians 6. But let's read this one together. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is, his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we professed. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. Let's stand together and pray, shall we? Great is your faithfulness, Lord. You poured out your grace and your mercy when we didn't deserve it. You've given us access to strength and power that, again, we do not deserve, but because your desire is to draw us to you. You desire us to be like trees planted by streams of living water. Your hope for us is that we would overcome the slings and the arrows of the enemy, extinguish the flaming darts as we build our faith through the power of your word, as we learn to wield the sword of the Spirit as our weapon against the enemy, holding truth high, fighting against the lies of the evil one. Lord, I pray that we would not give up before the battle even starts. I know, Lord, this is where the enemy gets us many times. The temptation to give up before we've even stood. The temptation to give up before we've even put on the armor. The temptation to give up before we've even tried to resist the temptation or the attack or the persecution or the affliction or the trouble that comes for your word's sake. But Lord, your desire is to plant your word into our hearts that it might grow and produce fruit and grow us into the people that you want us to be. I pray, Lord, that you would help us to stay focused, that we might stand firm and stand fast, dig in and hold our ground. That we might be the mighty warrior that you created us to be. As we draw people to you. Thank you, Lord, for making these things possible through Christ. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, look at the person next to you. Say, don't give up. Never give up. Never surrender. God bless. Have a great week. See you upstairs for carry and dinner in just a little bit.